Lottie. My hands feel light and capable as I mix up a simple batter, creaming sugar and butter with eggs and vanilla. Though I have hardly slept, I am wide awake, more alert than I've felt the whole time I've been at Grafton. I'm invigorated by all that I've discovered in the past 24 hours. I still can't believe that my mother and Richard Grafton were together in that photograph. It's an unthinkable revelation. One I never would have had were it not for Pradyumna. Who'd have thought the young millionaire would have been someone I could confide in, let alone such a help? I'm deeply grateful for his quick thinking this morning bringing us into the East Wing. Working on my cake, I have a surprising surge of hope. I feel closer to my mother than I have in decades. Finding her recipes so many years later could have made me incredibly sad. Instead, seeing her note cards, her handwriting, feels like a message not to give up. I've thought of my mother's recipes from time to time over the years, but always assumed they were just lost in the shuffle of my displacement. I had always wondered why the recipe box wasn't returned to me. I think of the cardboard box I was sent out into the world with. It contained my own sparse collection of clothes, plus a few of my mother's clothes, a couple of books, a pair of shoes, all that remained of her. I had looked for the recipe box in the folds of her dresses, my small hands coming up against the sides of the box and finding nothing. I assumed that it had gotten lost in the shuffle. But seeing the recipe box sitting prominently on Betsy Martin's mantle was a shock. It makes me realize that she must not have forgotten all about us after all. She can't have. As I zest a lemon, I replay memories of my mother. It is a common exercise of mine whenever I have a spare moment to think of the times I've spent with her, to recall what she said, what she was wearing, the smells in the air. I do it hoping the repetition will preserve them for me, to keep her alive in what small ways I can. Now I comb through my memories, shake them out, searching them for clues. If I could just discover some new detail that would reveal to me what my mother had been going through, I have the feeling that I could solve the entire mystery of her disappearance. I try to remember any time I saw her with Richard Grafton, a strange look or an intimate word between them. But I can't seem to pull up anything unusual. I pour my blueberries onto the countertop and pick through them, discarding the ones that are too soft. Then I roll them in flour until each one is coated evenly. As I stir them into my batter, I have a memory of her standing at the tall wooden table in Grafton's kitchen. It is summer, and she is kneading bread, her hands and apron dusted with flour. I am next to her, helping, pulling green beans from a bowl and trimming their ends. We work together, me snapping the beans and my mother slapping the dough down on the table. I remember the rhythm of it, the heaviness of the bread hitting the wood, and how it suddenly stopped. I watched my mother's hands pulling away from the dough. I stopped stirring my cake batter. My heart skips a beat as I recall my mother looking up from the bread, fear freezing her features. I followed her eyes to the kitchen door, propped open to give us a breeze, and watched with her as two shadows passed by the door, one tall and imposing, and one small in pigtail. Richard Grafton and his daughter, Betsy. My stomach drops, my optimism evaporating as I recall looking at my mother's hands and seeing they were shaking.